Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
As we have been discussing, Budget 2021 was announced by government this afternoon, and it was framed as an unprecedented package of supports against the backdrop of the twin challenges of COVID-19 and Brexit. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now by Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath, and thank you very much for coming in to us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
Minister, lots of, to look at here, but one of the big ticket items is health, obviously, and this 4 billion figure of spending in health. And one of the items within that package, again, is the increase in ICU beds that we're hearing. It's going to go up to 321 by the end of next year, a permanent increase, we're told, by the end of next year. I just wanted to ask you a little bit more about that, because by my figures, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, we have 273 ICU beds at the moment. The winter plan promises an extra 17, so that would bring us to 290, which means that we're only getting an extra 31 from what we've heard about thus far. Is that right?
Okay, so Sarah, thanks for having me on. I think it's important to distinguish between temporary funding for additional capacity and permanent funding for permanent capacity. And that is in essence what we're doing here. So I think the best measure really is to go back to the number that we had at the beginning of this year, pre-COVID, and that was of the order of 255. And so what we have committed to, that by the end of next year, that will be 321, and those beds will be permanent. The appropriate staffing will be provided, and that will be there permanently in the system, and we intend to continue to increase that into the future. COVID-19 obviously is directly relevant here, and as you know, at the height of the first surge, for want of a better phrase, there was surge capacity provided to take us to up over 400 critical care beds. But what we're doing today is making a decisive shift to increasing permanent capacity. Mm. And I think that is good news.
Yeah, so we have 17.5 billion euro in terms of the package. And we were told 10 years ago, when we had a smaller population, that we needed 579 ICU beds. And yet now, having been shown how important that is, over the last couple of months during the pandemic, we're still only going to 321 with the most ambitious budget in the history of the state. Are you confident that if we're still in this pandemic come next September or next December, and we now have our 321 ICU beds, that we still won't have to rely on private hospital capacity?
Yeah, I think there, you know, we certainly hope that there won't be a need to depend on any surge capacity in the next number of months. But if we need it, we will get it. I mean, let's be clear in the commitment that we're making to the Irish people that we will not be short of critical care beds. We will do whatever it takes to ensure that they are there. So in looking at the overall 4 billion euro that we are providing for health, I think you can split it broadly evenly. About 2 billion euro of it is for COVID-related measures, you know, testing and tracing next year, more PPE, other measures directly related to COVID. And then about 2 billion of it is a permanent increase in health spending. And for that, you've touched on one particular issue, which is the critical care beds, but we're also increasing the capacity of acute beds in our system. And that is so important. So again, from the beginning of this year, the number was about 11,000. And by the end of next year, that will be about 12,200. So you've lots of moving parts here, you know, some additional beds that have been provided. There hasn't been permanent funding secured for that.
Okay.
And then you have the winter initiative.
So
what we're doing here is recasting it back to where we were pre-COVID, and what we're now committing to funding into the long term. And that is about building capacity.
I suppose what I'm asking though, Minister, is we're borrowing all this money and we're spending this huge amount of money, and we're being told how much money we're spending. We've seen how exposed we are at the moment in terms of our critical care capacity and our ICU beds. And I'm asking, do you think this is enough so that we will no longer be exposed this time next year?
Well, look, the health service are the experts on this. And
they say we need 579. They told us that 10 years ago.
Minister Donnelly and with the Department of Health, and the ask in relation to the increase in critical care beds is being met. There are constraints in the number that can be delivered. It's not you know, this is not a simple matter. You need a physical infrastructure. You need a specialist staff. You need to ensure recruitment has been completed. So that's what they believe they can deliver, and we're funding that fully.
All right. Well, I want to ask you about the support scheme for businesses then, the COVID restriction support scheme. This is the payment of up to €5,000 for businesses that are forced to close, €5,000 a week indeed, for businesses that are forced to close during the pandemic. Just a couple of questions around how it'll work. Do you expect it'll cover all businesses that may need to close, no matter how small?
So this is a really significant move by government to, in essence, provide cash payments to businesses that have to either directly close because they have been directed to do so, or whose trade is minimal, again, directly because of restrictions imposed by government. So initially, the focus, as announced by Minister Donoghue, is on arts, entertainment venues, food, accommodation, the hospitality sector, all of whom are directly impacted by level 3. If we do have to move to a different level in terms of COVID-19 restrictions, then we will look to expand the range of sectors that would be covered by it. This has a very significant cost. We estimate even at level 3, it is between €40 and €60 million per week. But this is about giving businesses the best possible prospect of surviving. It's about keeping them in the game, and it's about helping them to meet some of their fixed costs. So I think this will be a game changer for some businesses who unfortunately have had to close their doors through no fault of their own, but because of restrictions we have had to impose to protect.
What I'm wondering though is, will it apply to all businesses that have to close?
If they have to close by a government directive under the restrictions that we have had to impose, or you know, potentially may have to impose further restrictions, then yes.
Okay.
So the detail of the scheme will be unveiled next week. And the intention is that the first payments will be made in early to mid-November. If any new decisions are made in relation to restrictions, the payment will be made immediately for the duration of that restriction. It's important just to say it's based on what the average turnover was for the business last year in a week, excluding VAT, and then we will essentially refund the business up to a maximum of €5,000 per week, set at 10% up to the first million of annual turnover, 5% beyond that. So it's about giving them cash and helping them to just stay in the game and, you know, give them a chance of coming back.
Okay, the VAT rate for the hospitality sector is going to 9% from 13%. Many businesses were crying out for that in July. Business in the hospitality sector, they were saying, we need this now. They were open as well in July and they were trading. And they said, we need this now. And the government said, no, we're going to go a different way. We're going to go down the stay and spend scheme, which never arose actually as things have turned out. Was that a mistake?
Well, look, I think you have to look at the package in the round, both in July and now in the budget as well. I mean, in July, we made very significant moves that were of benefit to the hospitality industry in relation to the commercial rates waiver, the restart grant, for example, and other measures. And we also cut the standard rate of VAT, which was of benefit to them too, but also was of benefit to a wide range of other sectors.
Yeah, but the business, so now I suppose the point is, Minister, that businesses are closed now, a lot of them, so they can't avail of a lower or a reduction in the VAT rate if they're not trading. They were trading in July and they were trading in August and it was high season for them. They were asking for it then and you didn't give it to them. I'm wondering, do you think that was a mistake?
Well, we made significant moves in their favour and now we're going further. And, you know, we have the Tourism Business Support Scheme that Minister Martin now has secured €50 million in funding for, with the extension of the commercial rates waiver. We're giving a commitment that the wage subsidy scheme will not end at the end of March. And now for those that are closed, we're actually going to give them cash based on their turnover last year. And we are reducing the VAT rate, which will be a benefit to those that are able to trade, including businesses, restaurants that are doing takeaways and so on. So I think you have to look at the whole package.
All
and
right.
It's a very substantial
and,
package.
And speaking of which, I'm just wondering, will it apply to all the service businesses, that VAT reduction? We're just hearing sort of in the ether that it might, for example, apply to hair but not beauty services. Would that be right? Or do you know?
So it is already defined in law what is covered by the 9% or the current 13.5% going to 9%, but it is in essence the service industry. And so without getting into, you know, individual areas and perhaps giving the wrong answer, but certainly for restaurants, for hotels, for I would have imagined beauty salon services too, But I can't be absolutely definitive on that.
Problem.
But, you know, that's not, the government doesn't decide, you know, who gets it now. It's whoever is at 13.5% goes to 9%. It would include a very wide range of services, including building services, for example.
The National Women's Council, they've welcomed their general response to the COVID crisis, but they say it is extraordinary that there is no additional investment in this budget into delivering a public model of childcare. It is extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, I think you have to acknowledge that in the last number of years, there has been a dramatic increase in investment in early years in childcare. That was the right thing to do. We are maintaining that level of investment into 2021. We have a relatively new national childcare scheme in place now, where you have either a universal subsidy or you have a subsidy linked to the income of the individual or the family concerned. We're fully funding two free preschool years, which is really significant for many families as well.
It's well acknowledged, though, that our public childcare system is well below what you would get maybe in many other European countries. So yeah, why, when you have 17.5 billion euro to spend, do you not put any money into that? Is it just not a priority for the government?
We're putting about 640 million euro into it.
Additional
investment. We can't do everything in this budget, and I'm not going to claim that we can. I mean, we have been under extraordinary pressure. We're dealing with an unprecedented level of uncertainty in relation to COVID, in relation to the possibility of an old trade deal Brexit. We're trying to maintain jobs. We're trying to support businesses, keep the economy open. And it's not a budget that ticks every single box that's there. I accept that. We are committed to investing in childcare. Roderick O'Gorman is undertaking, the minister, a comprehensive review in that area. And I'll be working with him over the next number of years to increase investment in childcare, both to improve the livelihoods for the people working in the sector, to make it more viable for the service providers, and where we can to make it more affordable for families. But we can't do everything in this budget.
Okay. Speaking of people who are losing their jobs, Minister Donoghue spoke about youth unemployment in particular, saying that a staggering 37% of those who are unemployed are under 24 years old, and not many options, obviously, for young people now. Emigration isn't there as the release valve. Now, the National Youth Council of Ireland is urging the government to restore the higher rate of the pandemic unemployment payment for all the under 25s who are unemployed to try and help them out. Do you think you've done enough for the under 25s in this budget, given the problems that they're facing?
They are facing huge problems, and both Pascal and I acknowledge today that young people, you know, have in many ways been the real victims, or have probably lost the most relatively in the last 6 months. But I think we have done a lot when you look at the level of investment in higher education, in further education, in reskilling opportunities, in the wide range of courses and tens of thousands of extra places that are being provided. And I think that ultimately is the litmus test, is can we help young people who have unfortunately lost their job to give them the best prospect of securing employment again? And we are committed to doing that. And when you look at the overall scale of the investment that we're making in this budget, you know, it is about supporting the economy as well as maintaining vital public services for people when they really need them.
All right. I just ask you finally then, Minister, about housing. You announced an extra 500 million euro will be made available for the construction of 9,500 new social housing units. You're only talking about 2,000 affordable homes, though, directly being built, with 9,000 over the next year, with the promise of 9,000 over the next few years from the Land Development Agency. It's well short of the 50,000 Fianna Fáil promised in the manifesto, isn't it?
So, first of all, the Land Development Agency is ramping up, and I think it is important to acknowledge that the direct building programme that has been announced today is the largest in the history of the state. 9,500 direct social housing bills by councils and approved housing bodies. That compares to an outturn in 2019 of just over 6,000. So it is a really significant increase. We are putting the structures in place for a significant delivery of affordable housing over the next number of years. We already have the Service Sites Fund with a 300 million euro multi-annual commitment there.
There's no target though, is there?
Well, the 6,000 homes will be delivered under that, including in 2021. Will only be a few hundred, but they're being built as we speak, and those will be developed. And the Land land development agency at its core will have affordability on its agenda, not just affordable purchase, but cost rental as well. But we're committed to delivering more public housing and improve affordability measures, both for purchasers and for tenants.
But do we
and
yet have
addition,
a target?
We're providing the money for the servicing of land. There's a lot of talk by politicians about building houses. Unless you get land serviced, you're not going to have houses built. And we have provided a very significant increase in funding, both this year in 2020, in the last few months of the year, and next year for Irish Water to introduce and complete water service schemes and wastewater. Without doing that, you won't build the houses.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath.